Is this real life?
Hey there, citizens of the world. Welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower the world to learn English the fun, natural, and real life way.
We believe that English should not be a dry and boring school subject, but an inspiring and enriching lifestyle that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want.
In this podcast, you will have lots of fun, learn plenty of new expressions, and drastically improve your listening comprehension.
We'll also teach you the secrets of native pronunciation, connected speech, and help you tune in your listening and speaking to the rhythm and flow of English.
So sit back, relax, and let's get on with the show. Oh yeah. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
tough
way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you are operating heavy machinery,
pumping iron,
arm wrestling with Chuck Norris,
stealing candy from a baby,
or grooming your beard. I'm joined today with the man who once climbed Mount Everest with nothing but a singlet, shorts, and his thongs. Justin Murray.
Oh yeah.
Just to clarify, Justin, were you using Australian thongs or the American thong?
It was two American thongs, actually.
Okay, so you mean the actual G-string.
Yep.
So were you barefoot?
I was, yeah.
Wow.
But you know, I gotta keep that stuff warm, so.
with the skimpy underwear.
Yep.
What does skimpy mean?
Skimpy means very sparse. It means it's not very much of it.
Yeah. Did you suffer from frostbite?
A little bit on my ear.
Okay, and that's it?
Yep.
Wow, it's pretty tough of you, man.
I am. I'm very tough.
And talking about tough, if you're really serious about learning English, don't mind a little bit of hard work, even a little bit of brute strength, then we know you guys are going to love this podcast. What do we got for them today, Justin?
All right, today we're going to talk about some manly things. So if you're weak-hearted or weak-minded, best turn this off now, because this is for tough people.
Yeah, and just to clarify, when you say manly, are you saying that women shouldn't listen to this podcast?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you got to be strong. We're going to throw all the politically correct stuff out the window.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about being strong.
Yeah. So for those of you who listen to our podcast about political correctness, we're breaking all that today. We're going to talk about manly expressions, about being strong and tough, and not a coward. That's what this episode is all about, and let's jump into it. Let's not jump into it. Let's just plow right through it like a real man would.
What do you mean by plow? Plow through it.
Well, plow through means to go through something without any hesitation or any difficulty. I just plowed through my work, for example. It means I didn't even think twice. Just did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it comes from a plow, which is a very old tool that you would have to kind of push to harvest your crops.
Yeah, it's a very manly tool too.
It is very manly, much like this podcast. So let's move on and plow through this podcast. Let's get some shout outs.
Oh yeah. You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and down. All right, we have a couple shout outs today. First one is from Fluency Circle member Alice.
Oh, good old Alice.
Yeah. He's always sending us emails, suggestions, always giving us feedback, and he left a 5-star iTunes review. Really great review. Alice from Taiwan. So he says, I'm so lucky to have you guys working with me on my way towards English fluency, especially because I realize there hasn't been a great Portuguese counterpart compared to real life English. You were always energetic, dynamic, informative, and inspiring. I'd say you were playing with English, and you show us how to play with it and enjoy it. I can't thank you enough for all that you've done, spending time and energy in recording, proofreading, writing transcripts, and creating the Real Life English Fluency Circle for us. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Thanks a lot, Alice. And just so you know, man, you're also helping us do that with all of your great feedback and suggestions for all the new shows. Alice has been giving us a lot of great ideas for future podcasts.
Heck yeah.
Okay, and our next shout out today is from another Fluency Circle member, really great member, Ludmila. She's from Russia, and she sent us this personal message. And she says, "Hey Justin, Chad, and Ethan, thank you so much for your wonderful lessons. Thank you for always being there and guiding the Fluency Circle members. As I mentioned before, I'm keen on learning English as a hobby. I find it captivating and it makes my life more enjoyable. I am 63 years old, and I believe anyone who keeps the ability to learn a language never grows old." Pretty tough attitude she's got there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She continues to say, "I find it very useful to learn English because I use it for navigating the web and for tourism. English helps me to know more about other cultures, traditions, and habits. I'm a patient learner, and I see that reaching fluency takes a lot of work. I'm anticipating the language learning journey to be an exciting adventure. Warm regards, Ludmila."
Just so you know, this is actually a response to our episode we did on Start With Why and how to be successful at anything.
Okay.
We asked the Fluency Circle members, like, why are you learning English?
Yeah.
What's your purpose?
Oh, so she's using it for, she said, navigating, like searching online and also tourism. But she also said just understanding other cultures and having the ability to communicate with people from all around the world.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. She says it's an exciting adventure. I think it was Helen Keller who said, "Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all."
Ooh, that's...
it's one of my favorite quotes.
That's awesome, man. Who was that?
I think Helen Keller. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
okay.
It's Helen something.
Okay. Sure. Awesome. Well, Ludmila, thank you so much for that great message. We're very happy to have you in the Fluency Circle, and we really love hearing from you, so thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. All right, so that's it for the shout-outs. Let's move on to today's random news story. All right, Justin, so I believe you have a very interesting news story for us today, something that you've done before in the past, right?
Don't think I've done this, but it is definitely a tough guy sport and tough guy, very courageous, who did this. Okay, this is from a website called Deadspin. So the title is Rugby Streaker Tackles Player, Incites Brawl, and Escapes.
Okay, so...
what does it mean to streak?
Streak is when you take off all of your clothes and run through somewhere.
Through the street, maybe?
Through the street. In this case, it was during a rugby game.
On the field.
On the field, under in front of thousands of spectators.
Under the lights.
Under the lights.
There's actually a video here, just so you know. It's based on a video. Okay. So, the rugby streaker, the person who streaks,
yeah,
tackles player. What does tackle mean?
Tackle is to grab them with your arms and, you know, throw them to the ground. It's very common in contact sport.
Yep. And he incites brawl. What does brawl mean?
A brawl is a fight with many people.
Okay.
And incite is to start.
Yeah. So basically he took his clothes off, jumped on the field, ran across the field naked. He streaked. And he started a big fight amongst the team.
Well, he actually tackles a rugby player, doesn't he?
He does.
He actually runs after the guy who has the ball.
He jumps on him.
Yeah, and throws him to the ground. And rugby players are pretty big guys.
So let's just go through this pretty quick.
Yeah.
Streakers, even the naked ones, are usually more or less harmless.
Harmless means that they don't hurt anyone. They do not cause harm to anyone.
But this dude, who recently invaded a match between Newcastle University and Northumbria, is a true villain. He's the Joker of streakers.
Okay, a joker is someone who plays jokes on people, someone who likes to joke around. Could also be the villain on Batman.
And a streaker, we talk about that, right?
Yep.
Somebody who streaks, takes their clothes off, right?
Yep. And it's always for public attention.
So this madman first creeps onto the field unnoticed while the players are occupied.
Creeps onto the field means he entered the field without anyone seeing him. He creeped onto the field.
So this madman...
a crazy guy. He's mad.
Yeah. So this madman first creeps onto the field unnoticed. Nobody noticed him. Nobody saw him. Mm-hmm. While the players are occupied. He waits for the action to come his way, at which point he attempts to make a tackle near the sideline.
Yeah. So he attempts, which means he wasn't successful, to tackle one of the players to the ground, and the sideline is just the border of the field.
Okay. Incensed, one of the players pins the naked guy to the ground and starts giving him the business.
I guess he pins him to the ground means that he holds him to the ground so he can't escape. And to give him the business, I guess he's referring to probably punching him.
And then for some reason, a player from the other team comes to the streaker's aid, sparking a huge brawl between the two teams.
So he comes to the streaker's aid means that he actually helps the streaker by attacking the player who is attacking the streaker.
Okay, yeah, so he caused somebody from the other team to come to help him, right?
Yeah.
Sparking.
Sparking, like to ignite, to initiate.
Huge brawl. Sparking a huge brawl between the two teams.
Yep.
A huge fight.
Mm-hmm.
At least the streaker got caught in the middle of the brawl and got his ass kicked, right? Wrong. He slithered right out of there and escaped, seemingly unharmed, to the other end of the field. What a bastard.
Okay, so they said he slithered out of there. So it's a nice word. To slither is the movement we use for a snake.
Yeah, so he got out of there without being really grabbed or touched.
Yeah, I guess people didn't even really notice him leaving as well.
But the video is pretty funny, so we're going to put it in the show notes. In the power lesson, we really recommend you guys check it out.
Yeah, and just so you know, at least I'm pretty sure you don't see any genitalia in the video, do you?
No, there's a dot covering his ass.
And okay.
His other private areas.
Okay. So it is PG-13 still, right?
Yeah, but, you know, if you're tough enough, you can handle it.
Yeah. All right. Well, check it out. Like we said, we're going to post the article onto the show notes, and it'll also be in the power lessons for the Fluency Circle members. So let's move on to today's conversation topic. What you talking about? Oh, yeah. So today's conversation topic is all about being tough as opposed to being cowardly. And we're just going to go through some expressions related to being tough and also different expressions to call people maybe a coward, would you say? Would coward be the opposite of tough?
Maybe weak. I would say. Yeah, I don't know if coward and tough are really...
really opposites, right?
Yeah, in the stereotypical sense, yeah, in the macho sense.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, how about, first of all, let's just go through the different uses of the word tough. By the way, tough is spelled T-O-U-G-H, G-H with an F sound.
Yep.
So how do we use the word tough, Justin? What's some different ways of using this word?
Well, tough, like difficult. And I always tell people to use this rather than difficult because it gets you to think more in English, I suppose. Because most people will tend to use the cognate. It's difficult as a cognate in a lot of languages.
Yeah.
It's like hard as well, right?
Okay. Well, hard can be difficult too.
Yep.
Okay. But also tough has a different sense. You might say... that guy's a pretty tough guy. Like, you're a pretty tough guy, right, Justin?
Well, there's a tough guy, right? Yeah. Oh, tough guy, huh?
Yeah.
A guy who's the macho, who just thinks he's the shit.
Okay, wait. What do you mean by he thinks he's the shit?
He thinks he's, like, the best in the world, right?
Okay.
And then you have somebody who's tough in the sense that they're just very durable.
Sure, okay. So when you say tough guy, huh? What are you kind of insinuating there, if you say that with that intonation in your voice?
It's kind of like sarcastic, right? Yeah. Oh, you think you're tough?
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. You think you're strong?
Mm-hmm. So maybe someone's, like, really offensive to someone. A tough guy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But if someone really is a tough guy, like you said, it means they're durable.
Durable, and maybe they just have kind of, like, this strength about them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe they can even, you know... handle a lot, whether it's actual physical pain, possibly emotional pain, you know? It can be pretty tough to get through these kinds of difficult situations. So while that guy's really tough, he went through some either horrific accident and hurt himself, or maybe he actually had a loss in the family or something difficult, like a difficult situation. So, well, he's pretty tough, you know? He's already come back to work after such a difficult time in his life, something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, I imagine that every woman who's ever given birth has to be pretty tough, right?
Yeah, sure. That's definitely, must be a tough job. I don't know. I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
Cool. We mentioned it can be like hard, but you said hard like difficult. You could also use tough in the sense of a hard surface, right?
Yeah, like for example, leather. That's tough, right?
Okay, what is leather?
Leather is the skin of a cow or an animal, right?
Yeah. But it's after it's being cut off the animal and used for people's clothing or furniture and stuff like that.
Yes, I forgot to mention that part. Yeah. I'm a vegetarian. But I think I have leather shoes, anyway.
Okay. Does that not defy the purpose of being a vegetarian if you wear leather shoes? Or did you buy them before you were vegetarian?
No, no. My mom actually just sent me a pair of running shoes.
Leather?
I think they have some leather in it, yeah.
Okay. Well, so you didn't know. That wasn't your fault.
It kind of violates the moral principle of vegetarianism.
Sure.
Which is the humane treatment of animals, right? Mm-hmm.
But hey, you probably look pretty cool when you're running around the running track there.
I look pretty tough.
You look tough. Okay, sure. Yeah.
So tough, again, is something like that. It's a durable material.
Mm-hmm. And tough in that sense, in the subject of vegetarianism, tough can also be used to describe the texture of meat. If meat is like really tough, people generally think it's not very good. If the meat's tough, as opposed to if the meat is very tender, it means it's like soft, very easy to cut, very easy to chew. So what about moving on real quickly to some expressions? We have quite a few common expressions that use this word tough in many of those contexts. What are some of them, Justin? Do you know any of them off the top of your head?
Well, usually it's like in the strong sense, right?
Okay.
Like we talked about tough guy.
Okay. Tough guy can be used sarcastically or he's a pretty tough guy.
Yeah, we talked about before, I think, in a past podcast about tough as nails.
Tough as nails.
And we did the nails, right?
Sure. That was the question of the podcast.
Yeah. Tough break.
A tough break. Nice expression.
What is a break in this situation? Like a rest?
No, well, the expression, if I say, oh, a tough break, man, it means that you were very unlucky for some reason. You had some kind of difficult situation. So tough in this case, I guess it would be related to difficulty.
They might be having like good luck, and then tough break when something like really bad happens, maybe bad luck.
Sure, sure. Like, let's say you were an awesome soccer player. You were doing really well. You might be semi-professional and you break your leg. Damn, man, tough break.
Yeah.
You're doing really well. It's like a really bad situation, unlucky situation.
Like Brazil in the World Cup semifinals when Neymar went out.
Sure, that was a tough break. And then they lost to Germany. A
really tough team.
A really tough team.
But the problem was they couldn't tough it out.
Oh,
and they got
nice.
Humiliated, right?
Yeah, so to tough it out, that would mean, I guess, to last the whole distance.
Yeah, like we say, finish it out. Right?
To finish it out.
But then to tough it out just means like to finish it strong in a really tough way, right?
Mm-hmm. Again, let's associate this with maybe sports, like running. If you run a marathon, the first half is probably not easy, but you've trained for that. But the last half, you just got to tough it out.
Yeah.
Your body is probably killing you and your teammates might just be like, hey man, tough it out, tough it out.
Yeah, but it might mean you're actually not performing very well, but you still have to tough it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's like you manage to complete that or manage to finish the race and endure the pain.
But if you run a marathon, you're one tough cookie.
You are one tough cookie. What do you mean by my cookie? Like the Cookie Monster to eat some cookies?
I don't know where the expression comes from, but yeah, to be a tough cookie,
mm-hmm.
usually say like, that's one tough cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And the one is, how would you describe that?
It's the person. That yeah? person is one tough cookie.
Yeah.
And it's if you are, you do something that person considers to be very difficult, or maybe like Justin said, if you run a full marathon, you're one tough cookie because it's a really difficult thing to do.
So when we say he's one tough cookie instead of he's a tough cookie, it gives it emphasis. The one makes him stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Gives it emphasis. So he's one tough cookie is a lot stronger than he's a tough cookie.
Yeah, like he's a badass motherfucker. He's one badass motherfucker.
He's one tough guy.
Yeah, it sounds like it's that guy puts more emphasis on that one guy, I guess. Talking about difficult situations is a really cool expression. When the going gets tough,
the tough get going.
The tough get going. Very often you don't even have to finish that phrase because everybody knows that that's the end of it, right?
So what does it mean?
So when the going gets tough means that when you're actually confronted with a very difficult situation, if you really are a tough person, that's when you start working hard. That's when you start going for it. But if you're not tough, you kind of just give up. Back mm-hmm. out. You become a coward.
Yep. So coward.
That's right. Being a coward. So on the other side of the spectrum, there's a lot of cool expressions related to being a coward in English, right? One of the most common ones, a wimp. Wimpy. That guy's a wimp.
He wimped out.
He wimped out. He chickened out.
Yep.
That would be synonyms, right, in that case?
Sound effects.
For chicken?
Yeah, chicken out.
Very good?
Very good.
Nice. There was actually a real chicken in the studio. I just pretended that I did that sound effect. So yeah, to wimp. A wimp is just a...
pansy.
Okay, we're just giving all these other expressions. If that guy's a wimp, or he's a chicken, it means he doesn't have guts. He's not gutsy. To have guts means you're not a coward.
It means you have courage, right?
You have courage.
Because your guts are pretty much like in your stomach.
Yeah, you're going to hear people also say, again, for some reason, being courageous has a lot to do with like this macho kind of energy. Kind of like, you know, being tough, being courageous. It's always emphasizing this macho kind of energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we generally say he's got balls
mm-hmm.
as well. Like testicles or balls of steel. I've heard that before, right?
Yep. But when the person is acting like a wimp or a sissy.
Sissy, another one.
You might say like, hey, grow a pair.
Grow a pair. Yeah. And what are they referring to?
They're referring to testicles. But, you know, we don't want to be chauvinistic pigs here.
Okay.
But sometimes women do say this, even though just figuratively.
Sure. Why do we say chauvinistic pigs? Why did you use that expression? What does that mean?
So it's a guy who has an attitude that's kind of maybe disempowering towards women.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And we use pigs, I guess. Just, why is that? Do they have no idea why we say pigs?
Because women call like really macho men pigs, I think.
Okay. Just because really, they're kind of rude.
Yeah. Men that disrespect women, maybe.
Sure. Yeah. They make women feel inferior to men, right? Chauvinistic pigs. So you get a lot of that with these expressions of courage and things like this, like grow a pair of balls. You know, you can also call a wimp or a sissy. Another word for that could be pussy. That guy's a pussy. He pussied out. It means he chickened out.
So what exactly is pussy?
Well, that's a vulgar word, depending on how you look at it. I mean, it does come from pussycat, like the actual animal, but nowadays it can be female genitalia. It's probably a very...
vagina?
Vagina. Very ugly word to use for that. But in this case, it's used, you know, just saying that person is a coward. That guy's a pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's a pushover.
Okay, pushover. This is not, like, associated with the other word we're using, pussy.
Yeah, okay.
Even though they sound similar, but...
yeah.
What's a pushover?
Well, let's just visualize it. If there's a guy standing up and you just, like, push him and he falls over, means he doesn't have... he doesn't stand up for himself. He doesn't, you know, fight for what he believes in. He's a pushover. You can convince him to do whatever you want, you know. It's like the typical bully at school telling the nerd or the less popular guy what to do. Hey, go and get me some lunch, or give me your lunch money and stuff like that. The guy who doesn't stand up to the bully is a pushover.
There's another one final one, like spineless.
Spineless. Okay, it's similar to pushover, right?
It is, I think, yeah.
It's the same thing.
So it's like you kind of have no spine. Your spine is actually like your it's on your back,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the vertebrae
mm-hmm.
stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, and that spinal cord as well.
So this is kind of like your integrity, right? If you're spineless, it just means that you have no courage and maybe no integrity in certain situations.
Yeah, it has an element of maybe a person who's a little bit kind of dirty as well, yeah. right?
Whereas pushover is just not so negative in the connotation. It's just mm-hmm. somebody who might be maybe whipped.
Whipped? Can I do a sound effect?
Do it.
Whipped.
Pussy whipped, they said?
Okay, sure. Okay.
I didn't want to bring that word back up, but...
okay, should we explain what the pussy whipped actually means?
Go for it.
So it just means a man who is... controlled by his wife or his girlfriend, and he does anything that she says, he's pussy whipped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for example, Chad has a girlfriend, and whenever he does something that she wants to do that I can see Chad doesn't want to do, I'm like,
yeah, sure.
You just make the sound and then they know.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. That's not true, by the way. But yeah, that's our conversation topic for today. Just giving you guys some insight and some awesome new vocabulary, some great expressions related to tough. All right, guys, so that's it for today's conversation topic. Let's move on to today's question.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I need somebody help. Okay, so today's question is actually something that I got asked by a student of mine very recently. He was reading some kind of article, or I'm not sure what he was reading exactly, but Diego, he asked me, the different uses of the word check. He was a little bit confused. I think he read it with some phrasal verbs in a few different situations, and he just asked me to clarify it. I thought it was a pretty interesting, interesting word, how we use it. So I'll just quickly go through the different uses of the word check. So first of all, check is obviously a form of money, to write someone a check. Okay, but check is actually, you know, the verb to check something is to make sure it's okay. If I was to check someone's work, I'll make sure that their work was correct and they'd done the right thing. Or, what else?
To confirm something, check your flight, check your info.
Yeah. You check someone's ID if they're, you know, bar and you're not sure if they're over 18, you might want to check their ID just to make sure that they are legal drinking age. But it's used quite often with other prepositions like phrasal verbs. We often say, hey, check out the show notes. What does that mean in that case?
It means to give them a look, give them a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Read over them.
Mm-hmm.
What if I said to check up on someone?
To check up on someone is just to see how they are.
Yeah. Make sure everything's okay with that person. Oh, I'm just checking up. Is everything okay? Sure. What if I was to get a checkup?
Well, it's when you go to the doctor to verify your health. That's a checkup.
Mm-hmm. And it's used as a noun because I'm going to get a checkup. Sure. What about check in?
To check in, you can check in a hotel. You can check in to just report that you're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also check like checkers. You ever play checkers?
Yeah, I play checkers.
It's kind of like chess. With the round pieces. Cool, so that's all the uses of the word check. As a noun form, uses phrasal verbs, and yeah, it's a very common word, you're gonna hear it all the time. And if you wanna double check that, check out the show notes, and we're gonna have all of the expressions written there for you. All right guys, so thanks a lot for joining us today in this podcast. As always, we thoroughly enjoyed it, and we hope you did too. And if you'd like to leave us a comment, maybe tell us how tough you guys are, something that you've done recently that you thought was very tough. So we'd love to hear about it, or we'd just love to hear any feedback you guys have. You can either leave us a comment on the show notes of this podcast, which is reallifeglobal.com/toughguys, TOUGHGUYS. And yeah, go through the show notes, check out all the vocabulary, leave us a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Or you can go to iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a 5-star review, and we'll give you a special shout out on one of the upcoming podcasts. If you want to know how to actually do that, also go to the show notes of this podcast, and we have a link to our video instructions on how to do that.
All right, now we're going to play you out with a song that Chad has been raving about ever since I met him.
Reek's Toughness.
What does reek mean?
Reek means it has a very strong smell of something.
It's true. And it's by a band that nobody's ever questioned their sexuality.
Of course not.
It's called The Village People.
The Village People. Well, those guys are really tough because you've got like a policeman, a biker, a sailor, and a construction worker. It's the toughest jobs you can find, right?
Yep.
Yeah. What's the song called?
Macho Man.
Phew. Nothing tougher than that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. So, like always, you'll hear from us next week on Real Life Radio.
Peace out. Be a macho man, yeah.
macho. Take a hell of my chest. Macho. Yeah. Macho man. I'm a big, my big, big mustache. I got to be a rapper. Macho. I got to be a macho. Macho man. Macho. Macho man. I got to be a macho. Big rock. Macho. Yeah. Macho man. I got to be a macho man. Talking about a macho man.